Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with James Kernan and me, Amy Babinchek. How are you doing today, James? Did you have an awesome 4th of July weekend?
I did. I'm just excited. I woke up this morning and counted all my fingers and toes again to make sure that I still have them all. But yes, an amazing weekend. Just I loved it because the holiday, fell on a Friday.
Yeah.
And, and then it kind of made a long weekend. And I think, I don't know about you, but in the state of Nebraska, people started celebrating even on Wednesday or Thursday. So it kind of felt like a 4-day weekend for me.
Yeah. Yeah. They did that here as well. In fact, I spent a week out on my boat and we actually drove home on the 3rd.
Okay.
And which involves driving south the length of the state, basically. And the north going traffic was bumper to bumper for 300 miles.
Yeah.
So many people went away for the weekend to their cottage, to the beach, to the parks, to whatever, which was great to see because that is a big economic indicator for me. When times get rough or gasoline prices get high, you don't see those RVs and trailers on the road heading north to the campgrounds anymore. And right now, the roads are packed with them. So that's a great indicator.
Yeah, that's awesome. My my mom's side of the family all grew up in Michigan. I don't know if I've shared that with you before, but I remember vividly as a little boy, it seemed like I would go out and visit my grandmother who lived just north of Detroit, at least a month every summer. And, my mom and dad both worked. So I think they were trying to get me out of the house into a safe environment. But that was always what my grandma would say is like, oh, it's this weekend. Let's go up north. And she called it go up north to go camping and things like that. But everybody vacations on the northern side of the state, it seems like.
Yeah. Yep. The jobs are in the southern part near the Detroit and suburbs, and all of the beauty and fineness is north. And because of that, there's major, we'll call it cottage culture, where people they get in their car, they go to their cottage, they go to their boat, they go camping, they do whatever those roads going north. So much so that in Michigan, we have a law that says that the construction must be off the road going north on Friday and go south on Sunday. So it helps free up the roads so that people can get up there and spend their tourism dollars in the small towns in the north.
Well, that's smart. No, that's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. People are always really surprised to hear that from other states. I've never heard that from another state. If your state does that, I would love to know. So
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I was just going to say back on the, on construction, it seems like it's the opposite here in Nebraska that they start construction on the busiest travel day of the year. It kind of seems like how they plan things out. So,
I know
with the weather, they have limited time though. They have to do what they can in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same here. Although I have noticed they're doing more year round construction now, but anyway, enough about the Midwestern weather. Let's talk about MSP businesses for a minute. We had a question come in this week, which was, not super high and pie headline grabbing stuff, but really important to your staff.
Yeah.
How often should you complete those employee reviews? As a business owner, wasn't real excited about doing them myself, but employees like them. They want to have them. They need that to help guide them in their career. So what do you think, James? How often should you do those?
Well, it depends on your bandwidth and size of the company. I would say anywhere from 1 to 4 a year. You know, I like, you know, to me, an employee review, just like you said, it's so important to the employee, but us business owners are so busy, we avoid it. Rarely do I see any regular cadence that MSPs have. This is something I think every, or a lot of them struggle with, but, I would call the employee review, instead of calling it a review, it's a meeting, you know, it's feedback. You want to share feedback on how they're doing and how they can improve. And you want to give them constructive feedback on, you know, things they need to learn or get better at. It's just communication. You know, it's not a guaranteed raise. You know, I don't like looking at it that way. It's really just communication, to be candid with them. So 1 to 4 times a year is what I would say. Employees, I think, that need more feedback would be, you know, frontline salespeople. Salespeople need more feedback in general. I've managed big groups of salespeople in my lifetime. And, but anyway, my answer would be 1 to 4 a year. Depends upon how much time you're able to allocate to it.
I think it's a pretty good number. I only did them once a year. I did not have sales staff. Like you mentioned, some groups have different needs. Yeah. Now, I liked decoupling them from the raises. So, you know, we didn't have a specific schedule for raises. You know, they happened when we could afford them or when, when there was the big inflationary period, we made sure to do raises then to keep everybody level set in the world. And so I decoupled that from the employee review because I didn't want it to be like a reward kind of thing, you know, like it to me, it'd be weird. Like, you know, here's your raise and here's a list of things you need to work on. Or really wanted to talk about, you know, with them, what they're doing really good at, what I've noticed that they've improved upon, and then other things that, you know, that they could work on. And I would also look for feedback from them. And I give them the heads up on this before the meeting. Okay. I want you to come to this meeting with some ideas of what we could be doing better here to support you.
Yep,
and I would ask them for that. So it was really just a meeting. And most of the time we try to get out, like have them show up at the Starbucks for coffee, right? Make it for me a more conversational thing.
Yep.
You know, rather than here's my bullet list, here's your sheet of paper, you know, it was none of that. It was a conversation, you know, and really for me, I really wanted to gauge how happy are they with their job, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so the only time we did it more frequently is if we were working on an employee with some particular problem or specific thing that we wanted to see improvement on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, just once a year checkup conversation with the boss, you know, just go over some stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. You know, the salespeople just need more interaction. I always liked comparing what their goals were with their actual performance. That's why I like trying to do that every quarter, because I wanted to make it crystal clear. Hey, either you're meeting and exceeding our expectations or you're not, you know, and yeah. Salespeople that aren't, you know, normally they don't stick around too long. So we always wanted to give that feedback. And, you know, one other thing too, that I've seen throughout the years and all the years of consulting, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't have a form or a process they use. There was a real simple, it's a little 2-pager, form. I'm happy to share, you know, free of charge, just email me. It's set up to be like more like an employee review form. I think I created an Excel spreadsheet so you can edit it, or I have a PDF of it, but just email me if you want a copy at james@kernanconsulting.com. Happy to share that. The idea I would always tell MSPs that are busy, it's like, delegate this to an assistant or someone in charge of HR. Someone should be responsible that, hey, employee number 1, 2, and 3, they've got their reviews are due this month. And on the first of the month, you know, email the person responsible to do the review, or the owner, you know, just have that form emailed to them as a reminder that, hey, they have to get that employee review done this month. Doesn't have to be done on the exact day, but, you know, that gives us a big window to get that accomplished. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, what you said about salespeople, I think is true. And for tech people, you know, as far as hitting their metrics that you're expecting from them, right?
Yeah.
Revenues brought in, tickets closed, you know, customer meetings held, whatever it is that they're responsible for. To me, those are things that I want to be giving them feedback on, and they should know where they stand compared to their fellow employees all the time.
Yeah.
And so we always published that information monthly.
Yep. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And we just put it in Teams. So they always knew where they stood as far as how they were measuring up to everybody else. And to me, the employee review was something different, right? It was more of a conversation. I wouldn't want to, you know, because you don't want to wait a whole year to tell somebody that you're right. Unhappy with the number of help, you know, takes them too long to close those help desk tickets, or, you know, they're not, you know, everybody else got out and met with, you know, X number of clients this year and you did half that number, right? You're just telling them they're failing. Why did you wait a whole year on that? You're losing money if you do that.
Exactly. It's just a conversation, you know, and that's what leaders need to do. And it kind of funny, you just reminded me, I've always told, you know, people of leadership, as I've talked about this topic, if you ever have to let an employee go and they're surprised at their performance, if they don't, they're shocked, you know, that means you're doing something wrong. The leader, you know, you need to be communicating, just like Amy said, don't wait a year, don't wait a quarter, you know, for their one-on-one, you know, you need to give them that feedback right away if they're not doing something right. So that's really important.
All right. So let's talk about a few items in the news today. Boy, you know, I had a great weekend. I just got back from my boat, like I said, and I did some work in the yard, and you had a great weekend with fireworks and not losing your fingers. It's always a bonus.
That's a bonus.
And hopefully you got out in your boat too. But the folks over at Ingram Micro had a lousy weekend on July 3rd or 4th is what they're telling us so far. They got hit by a ransomware attack. And the company that hit them, or supposedly this company called SafePay, super ironic name, isn't that?
Yeah.
We're a hacker team. We're called Safe Pay. They got hit by them big time. And guess what the vector was that let them in?
What's that?
VPN.
Yep. Okay.
He had a 50-50. It was going to be VPN or RDP.
Exactly.
It was VPN. And, you know, ironically, the word safe is in the name of Ingram Micro's VPN also. There is no safe VPN. There is no safe RDP. You need to rid your world of those things.
Yeah.
So they got hit pretty bad, I guess. It's hard to say. They did shut down they shut down things to contain it, right? So probably a good idea, because it was a holiday weekend. It was going to be a low flow business time for them anyway. So they contained the situation. SafePay's playing hardball from what I read, that they say they have financial records and personal information of customers and all that stuff. So I imagine there's going to be some negotiations between them and Ingram Micro going on. So I think we might be talking about this next week, because we may actually learn more about what actually the damn that happened here.
Yeah, I read the article and it looked like it's something they can't fix right away. So it's going to take a little bit of time. And another thing that, you know, it just kind of spooks me that more and more of these big hacks are getting closer and closer to home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just a reminder of all of us, you know, we need to mind our P's and Q's and just make sure that, you know, we always take cybersecurity seriously, train our employees and lock down those holes.
Yeah.
If Ingram can get brought to their knees, anybody can.
Well, think of this. The thing that got hacked is a product that Ingram sells through MSPs. And now this hacker company has that list of MSPs.
Yeah.
That's just future income stream for the SafePay ransomware company.
Yeah. Yeah.
So beware. Beware. Take be smart to take action on that, I think, right away if you're an MSP and you're using that product.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we'll see how Ingram Micro handles this. Do they handle it as well as CrowdStrike has handled their disasters in the last year? They had a couple of big splashy disasters in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
But they got in front of it. Their marketing team was amazing.
Yeah.
Communications and marketing was spot on.
Yeah, CrowdStrike just really amazes me of how they went to 800-pound gorilla to the doormat in the industry. You know, everybody was stepping on them, stomping on them, making fun of them. And all of a sudden, really through good PR, now they're back. I saw that article, I think you were talking about, that Wall Street analyst really just calling them the gold standard of cybersecurity, and they're the golden child. And like, wow, you know, they were just in the headlines about how bad they were. So amazing marketing, good for them, you know, good for them. I know there's a lot of CrowdStrike resellers that are hopefully jumping up and down, you know, hopefully that'll stay that way. And Ingram can only be so lucky if they've got some good PR like that.
Hopefully their marketing and communications staff are aware of those lessons from CrowdStrike, and they are then busy working over this last weekend getting their messaging right. So,
right.
The CEO of Ingram Micro says it's our worst nightmare. So,
yeah.
He had a lousy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, poor.
So, look, we're going to keep an eye on that one for sure. TikTok is back in the news. You know, it's been, you know,
it's
being sold, not being sold, being sold, not being sold. It is being sold. The U.S. is still on track to force that sale. And who knows who's going to end up owning the new TikTok. You know, I saw in the news that TikTok has written a new U.S.-only app. So that implies that there actually are problems with the current app.
Yeah.
They have to write a new one to comply with the U.S. cybersecurity standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't want the new owners to have their original code that was in there or see it. So they've written a new version of that app, which is going to be going out to everybody. And probably, they're saying probably, because we don't know for sure, but I think it's a high probability. Your old app's going to stop working. The Chinese-owned app will stop working. Right. And the U.S.-owned app, you'll have to replace it
over
that.
It, yeah.
So you need to re-download TikTok if you're a TikTok user. Otherwise, hopefully the content will still be there and be the same. They'll just be less of a cybersecurity risk to the country when you're using it.
Yeah, good. Good. Yeah, I saw that there was a consortium of investors like Oracle, Blackstone. You know, there's a big group. It sounds like they're the ones that are in the process of buying this, but we'll see how this all rolls out. But it looks like it's all going to happen this fall.
Yeah, it looks like mostly a bunch of PE firms and Oracle. So I don't know if Oracle ends up being the company that runs it or what. It seems a little out of Oracle's.
Yeah.
Weird thing for them. They're not.
I was thinking the same thing.
They're not a consumer app company. They're not a social media company. And for them to run TikTok would be kind of weird, I think. So I would just keep an eye and see who actually ends up running it. Yeah, be interesting to see that.
Absolutely.
So what's coming up, James? You had your event?
Yeah, there's a the event was awesome. Catching my breath from that. You know, we've got another one planned in Tampa for late September. But I know I've been telling everybody I'm not going to be traveling that much, but I'm going to be down at ChannelCon later this month in Nashville. So I'll be over in Nashville for ChannelCon. I think that's the 29th, 30th, 31st of July. I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully I'll see some of our listeners out there. And then I'm looking at hitting up that exchange event in Denver. And that's, I think, the third week of August. So I'll be at that event as well. And then we've got the following month, September, down in Tampa for the mastermind. So I'm doing a little bit more traveling than I thought, but those are quick, easy trips.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Well, I am not going to be traveling till September. So when that comes up, I'll let you guys know a little sooner, but I'm going down to Atlanta in September to speak at an event down there. And then I'll probably be out at your event too, a little bit after that. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. So next week I'm going to head out for 3 weeks on my boat, but never fear. I got my Starlink Mini and we'll be doing the recordings.
Good.
From there as we're at anchor out in some wilderness zone. So that'll be a nice thing to do. And then just a reminder for our listeners that the freebies list is still out there. We've talked about what's all the amazing stuff that's all in that for you in the last couple of episodes. And so if you need that link, be sure to, you know, check out the show notes. We've got the link in there for you.
Yep.
So that's it for today. Thank you for listening to this edition of the SMB Community Podcast, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.